You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football, but instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we return here with what usually would be a crossover Thursday, but in the spirit of 2020 and how this season and the past week and a half, 2 weeks, has gone for the Baltimore Ravens, we're here with a game review. The Ravens falling to the Pittsburgh Steelers 19-14 in week 12, and this was quite a game for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, I first want to say that the Ravens, by many people, were picked to lose this game by over 20 points, by three possessions, just get absolutely slaughtered in this game. That was the consensus. But Baltimore showed the grit and the fire to just go out there and play football. The Ravens down what seemed like almost a third of their roster in this game, going up against the only undefeated team left in the NFL in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they showed that this is a team, honestly, and you know, this might be a little bit of like a hot take, but I don't think any team wants to see this Ravens football team in the playoffs, because we've seen over the past 3 weeks, let's say, let's take these three losses, they've lost their last three games by a combined 17 points. This team is right there, whether the ball bounces one way or the other, if there's a call that doesn't go the Ravens' way. It just seems like they're coming up just short every single time they play. And for the last 3 weeks, that's been the case. But now Baltimore has a very easy schedule for the last five games. The Ravens fall to 6-5 with this one. Pittsburgh moves to 11-0. So in the first segment here, I want to talk about the Ravens offense first, the Steelers defense, Robert Griffin III, Trace McSorley, the Ravens running back game. Just what happened in this one, what went well and what did not go well. And then in the second segment, I want to flip that field and talk about the defense and talk about what ended up happening with this Ravens defense, which honestly, for the most part, put up a stellar performance in this game, all things considered. And then finally, in the third segment, I just want to talk about where the Ravens go from here. The Ravens are 6-5, I mentioned, have a pretty easy back half of their schedule. So where does Baltimore go from here? What do they have to do in order to make the playoffs? What can they afford to do to make the playoffs, and what can't they afford to do? So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting for you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens for episode updates, and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for analysis, news updates, and anything relating to the Baltimore Ravens. So with all that being said, we are going to jump right in here, starting off with this Baltimore Ravens offense. Now, the offense was only able to put up 14 points. 7 of those points came because Devontae Harris had a phenomenal play on a punt return in the first quarter by Ray McLeod. Other than that, the Ravens did not have a great day on the offensive side of the ball, and I think that all stems from Robert Griffin III and his play. On the day, Robert Griffin III went 7-12 for 33 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. That interception was returned for a pick six by Steelers cornerback Joe Hayden. This ends up being a game for me where the biggest takeaway on my end is the Ravens' success is tied to Lamar Jackson. Now, obviously, that's a pretty broad statement. There are a lot of factors for the reasons why the Ravens are either successful or not when it comes to a football game. But the biggest reason for success, I mean, look, the defense played lights out for most of this game. A phenomenal effort. The red zone defense stepped up in a big way, barely allowed the Pittsburgh Steelers to get into the end zone. The Pittsburgh offense on the day only scored one touchdown. And, you know, we'll talk about the defense a little more in the second segment, but the offense just could not do a lot with the opportunities that they were given. The big story in this game for the Ravens was the mismanaged clock at the end of the first half. Baltimore down inside Pittsburgh's 10-yard line with about 30 seconds left. They were actually inside the one with 30 seconds left. Justice Hill just barely doesn't get that ball in on a third down run where it's just, you know, inches off the goal line for the touchdown. So the Ravens end up calling a timeout instead of actually running a play. And that the Ravens did not have any timeouts after that. So the Ravens, they could either run the ball once and spike the football for a field goal if they didn't get in, or they could throw the football, then run the football. So the Ravens, what they decided to do is run with Gus Edwards. He does not get the touchdown. The Steelers are lying all over the Ravens. They're not allowing him to get up, which, like, look, at the end of the day, a good strategical move by the Steelers, but they should have been. It's ridiculous that the Steelers were not penalized for delay of game. The Steelers players were on the Ravens players, not allowing them to get up. That is a textbook delay of game. So the Steelers, they get the benefit of that doubt. There's no flag called. The Ravens hustle up to the line with what time they had left, and instead of spiking the ball, the Ravens actually go for the touchdown, which honestly, in my opinion, was not that bad of a move. The issue is that there was no time left on the clock, so Luke Wilson high points that ball, does not bring it down into his body, time expires, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and I believe it was Jordan Dangerfield, make a great play on the ball, and the Ravens end up leaving that possession, going into the halftime locker room with no points on that possession. That's a big turning point, because let's say Luke Wilson does come down with the football, from a final score perspective, the Ravens win the game, either 20-19 if the extra point is missed, or 21-19 if it's made. So it's just, again, the ball bounces a certain way. The Steelers, they did not play a great game on offense in this one. Again, we'll talk about that in the second segment. But the defense for Pittsburgh, they played pretty well against the Ravens, whatever the offense was in this one. Trace McSorley ended up having to come into this one and had the much better day out of the two Baltimore Ravens passers. He completed 2 of 6 passes for 77 yards and 1 touchdown, a long one to Marquise Brown, a 70-yard score. So hopefully that kickstarts Marquise Brown. But another takeaway for me is that I personally don't think that Robert Griffin III is going to be on this football team next year. I think he showed more than enough to Ravens faithful, the Ravens organization, that he is not cut out to win this team football games. And it's unfortunate, because I personally am a big fan of Robert Griffin III and what he was able to bring to this team from an off-the-field perspective over the last 2+ years. But it's apparent that he will most likely never get back to what he was during his rookie season. And this was a week of, you know, the weirdest proportions for both the Ravens and the Steelers. Not a lot of practice time for either team, although the Ravens barely got any. I mean, this was a game where Robert Griffin III, a lot of mistakes early on. He did have his spurts. I'm not going to say Robert Griffin III didn't play well in certain spots. He was able to make some things happen with his legs. He averaged 9.7 yards per carry on the day, 7 carries for 68 yards, and is actually the leading rusher in Wednesday afternoon football history, I believe, from a yardage perspective. So for the Ravens, they just did not have what it took on offense to win this game. I mean, there was potential for Baltimore to win it if the defense gets a stop on that final Pittsburgh drive, but the running game didn't really do a lot, and part of that is because of the fact that the Ravens had no passing game whatsoever, and I've been preaching this on this show for the whole season. The run game goes hand-in-hand with the pass game, and the pass game goes hand-in-hand with the run game. The Steelers were not afraid of the Ravens' pass game, and honestly, they should not have been for the entire game. Now, this obviously differs with Lamar Jackson and the weapons back, but in this game, Robert Griffin III really did not do anything to have the Steelers feel a need to back up off of 8-man, even 9-man boxes. And, I mean, I don't blame them. The Steelers, they were getting gashed by some runs early. They decided to say, all right, we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to make you beat us throwing the football through the air. And the Ravens, outside of that one Trace McSorley pass to Hollywood Brown, did not end up doing that. Now, the Ravens receivers, it was a Marquise Brown day. 4 receptions for 85 yards and a score. He had 8 targets. Devin Duvernay had 3 receptions for 20 yards. And his receptions were kind of unfortunate. It was on third down. He would catch a pass, and it was 3, maybe even 2 yards behind the first down marker. He had 3 targets. And then Justice Hill had 2 receptions for 5 yards. And that was it. That's it on the Ravens receiving end of things. The tight ends did not do a ton in this game. Luke Wilson dropped both of his passes that were thrown his way. I mean, the Ravens were relying on Luke Wilson, Sean Culkin, and Eric Tomlinson, 3 guys who have barely been with this team at all. And with all that being said, I think they did a decent job, all things considered. They were blocking decently well. I just think, you know, this Ravens offense, it runs through running backs and tight ends, so there will need to be some elevated play by those guys moving forward, depending on who is going to be on the active roster. I mean, maybe Tomlinson does get a nod. Luke Wilson did not help his case, but I think Baltimore has long-term plans for him this season. So we'll see. But at the end of the day, the Ravens, they fought valiantly on offense, but Robert Griffin III did not do enough. Trace McSorley entered the game too late. And that ends up being the difference. The end of the half performance by the Ravens ends up being the difference once again. It seems like, again, Baltimore either has a really, really good end of the first half drive or a really, really bad one. And it was looking promising up until those final 30 seconds, and then it turned into a really bad one. So the Ravens just could not get it done on offense, and we're going to head into our first break here. But when we get back, we'll be talking about the Ravens' defensive performance, which was quite a bit better. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Bilko makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Go every day. Bilko is the best workout gel on the market. So be sure to go to BilkGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BilkGo.com. Let's go. And we are back here with our second segment of this game review episode here on Thursday. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. And the Ravens, again, fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers 19-14 in a game that was a lot closer than most anticipated. And that is because of the Baltimore Ravens defense, who we're going to talk about right now here in this second segment. Ben Roethlisberger, just for perspective here, threw this football 51 times. He attempted 51 passes, completed 36 of them for 266 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. That interception coming on that fourth and goal from the 1 yard line that ended up falling in the hands of Tyus Bowser. Now, in terms of Tyus Bowser, the Ravens need to re-sign this man like yesterday. Tyus Bowser has been a phenomenal presence for Baltimore this year, showing he has value not only in his pass rush snaps, but also when he drops back into coverage. And that is something that Don Martindale values very, very much. So for the Ravens, re-signing him, I think, would be within their best interest. I was very skeptical of the prospects of Baltimore re-signing him. But look, if they can get him on a decently cheap contract, not overpay for him, which is probably going to be unlikely considering there are going to be a lot of teams vying for his services in the offseason, it'll be tough to lose Tyus Bowser. I really hope they can strike a deal with him that is both friendly to Bowser and the team. But I think, honestly, Bowser is most likely gone from Baltimore in the offseason, which is unfortunate because he played really well again against the Steelers. But getting into this defensive performance, you can't talk about how this defense played against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Wednesday if you don't first talk about the red zone defense. Pittsburgh got 4 tries in the Baltimore red zone, and they only came away with 1 touchdown. It's a little familiar to what Baltimore did against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. The only difference is that Baltimore's red zone deficiencies ended up plaguing them, and they lost that football game. Pittsburgh was still able to pull out a victory here. But that just goes to show, look, the Ravens play this bend-don't-break defense. It's been pretty apparent all year. Baltimore plays a lot of off-coverage. They play a lot of off-coverage, and it's something that I don't necessarily like. I think especially against teams like Pittsburgh and Indianapolis and maybe even Kansas City, where it's either a quick-hitting offense or a deep-shot offense, you need to be able to press at the line. And it's not me necessarily saying, look, I want Baltimore to play press coverage every single play. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it seems like for the most part, until teams get into, you know, maybe the Baltimore red zone, the Baltimore 30-yard line, Baltimore's playing off coverage for a majority of their snaps. And what you see is teams like Pittsburgh take advantage of that by throwing the 3-yard underneath shot or the 5-yard crosser. And it just chunks away at defenses, and that it works to an extent. It works if the defense is truly bend, don't break, which for the most part on Wednesday, Baltimore was. But then you see it come back to bite them one time, and it honestly probably should have been more like 2 times. I think the Steelers should have scored on at least 1 more of their red zone possessions, but Baltimore did what they were supposed to do, and that is hold the Steelers out of the end zone for the most part. This Pittsburgh Steeler offense going up against the defense, and just to put this in perspective, that was without Brandon Williams, without Calais Campbell, who were their 2 best interior defensive linemen. They were without Pernell McPhee, Matthew Judon, and Jihad Ward. Ward hasn't gotten a ton of playing time this season, but McPhee and Judon are big parts of what Baltimore does on the defensive side of the ball. The Ravens were missing Jimmy Smith for most of this game. He leaves with a groin injury, and hopefully he's okay. He's a big part to what Baltimore does on defense. But the Ravens seemingly with all of that, and if you want to get into injured reserve people and talk about Tavon Young, that's a different story, but I'm not going to go that far. We saw a guy step up like Devontae Harris, who the rumblings on Twitter, at least when he was signed to Baltimore, was, look, you'll be okay if he doesn't see the field. He had a great game, in my opinion. Somebody who was thrown into the fire after Jimmy Smith gets hurt, has a great pass breakup, is able to make a play on special teams, really change the flow of the football game. The Ravens saw people step up all across their roster, both on the offense and defensive sides of the ball. Tristan Colon-Castillo had a great game at center for his first NFL action. I mean, that is just the way this Baltimore Ravens team does things. It's literally next man up. Every single time someone goes down, whether it's injury, COVID, poor play, it's next man up. All right, this guy can't do his job well. You go in there and you do it for him, and you do it better than him. DJ Fluker, for example, did not have a great game. There were a few phantom calls on him. I wouldn't say every call that was called against him was a penalty, but Fluker has had a pretty bad season for the Ravens, and it's unfortunate. Fluker's a really nice guy. It's unfortunate that he's had to go through that because he was originally penciled in as Baltimore starting right guard, and then he moves to tackle, doesn't play well enough. He has a back flare up on him earlier this week, so Tyree Phillips comes in and also makes a few mistakes. It's going to be interesting to see what Baltimore does on the offensive line, but back to the defense here. Chuck Clark leads this team with 13 tackles. Clark has been up and down this season, in my opinion. He hasn't been terrible. I don't think he's been as good as last year, though. We've seen him struggle in coverage to a degree. You know, not every player is going to be perfect. Clark is certainly not, but I think he gives the Ravens a different edge to their defense. I think, you know, he's a box safety. That is what he is. He isn't expected to play one-on-one matchups quite a bit with people. He's going to be the main culprit on that. James Washington catch that pretty much sealed the game for Pittsburgh. Chauncey Rivers also was back in coverage on that play. But, you know, this was the tale as old as time, or maybe not as old as time, as old as the past few seasons for the Ravens, where in certain situations, not all the time, but in certain situations with the game on the line, Baltimore's defense falters. You can go back a few years ago to the fourth and however many yards it was against the Kansas City Chiefs when Baltimore was in control of that game. Patrick Mahomes flings up a prayer and Tyreek Hill comes down with it. You can go to the Tennessee Titans game just a week and a half ago. It's been that long, where Baltimore seemingly has the game under control and they just blow the game. You can talk about it with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where the Ravens actually go up a few weeks ago in the fourth quarter. The defense can't hold, can't get a stop. You can go back to Christmas in that awful Christmas game the Ravens ended up playing, and it was awful because Antonio Brown powers through three Ravens defenders at the goal line to win the Pittsburgh Steelers the AFC North. So Derek Wolfe said it really well a week and a half ago, where he said, look, we just need to put together 60 minutes of good football. And the Ravens, for the most part on defense, they did that. I'm extremely proud of how they played. Baltimore extremely thin on the defensive line. I forgot to mention Justin Madubuike, who was out and is another key piece on this defensive line. So all things considered, I mean, you had a decent game by Marcus Peters. He got burned in a few spots, but also made a couple of really nice plays. Same thing goes for Marlon Humphrey. I thought Patrick Queen didn't make any mistakes. Maybe there was one or two where he hesitated quite a bit, but he'll get over that. It's more of just rookie jitters from him. Jamal Williams was picked upon a lot, and honestly, he played decent. He didn't play amazing, but when you have Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters on either side of the line for the Baltimore Ravens defense, you're probably going to want to go with the guy who's not named either of them. So Tremont Williams seemed to be that culprit a little bit in this one. Derek Wolfe, I thought, played outstanding. Baltimore should really look to re-sign him. It's crazy that he ends up on a one-year deal to Baltimore in a crazy sequence of things, really, where Michael Brockers does not sign the failed physical, very well known, and Derek Wolfe comes in on a very cheap deal and is performing admirably, one of the best run stuffers and defensive linemen in the NFL right now. So, I mean, look, this is a disappointing result for the Ravens. They wanted to win this game. They thought they could. I had a little bit of glimmer of hope. I did pick the Steelers to win this one. I thought it was going to be close. I predicted 30-20. The final score ends up being 19-14. So, you know, even closer than I thought it was going to be. But the Ravens end up putting up a fight. The defense showed they did not quit. The defense showed that, look, we're going to throw everything we have at you until the final clock hits zero. And that's exactly what they did today. And, you know, both on offense and on defense, it's safe to say that, look, the Baltimore defense had a better day than the Baltimore offense. And, you know, even the special teams had a better day than the Baltimore offense, it seemed like. But look, at the end of the day, I'm proud of this Baltimore Ravens team for the way they came out and fought against the only undefeated team left in the NFL. And if this game shows anybody anything, it's that this team will never give up, will never quit. Baltimore, again, has an easy schedule in the back half, and we'll talk about that in the final segment. But this is a team that, look, they can win out. I believe they can win out and make a push at the playoffs, because if they do win out, the playoffs are virtually a lock. We're going to head into our final break here, and when we get back, we'll be talking about just where the Ravens go from here. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. And we return here with our final segment of this Locked on Ravens Thursday episode. Kevin Onstreicher is still hanging out with you here. And the Ravens, they drop a tough 19-14 game to the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 12. And they go and fall to 6-5. Now, I do want to talk about in this final segment just where Baltimore needs to go from here and where they are going to go from here. Look, again, the record, 6-5. Right now, in the AFC, Baltimore would be the number 9 seed. And look, the Ravens, the big thing to look ahead to now is their schedule. The Ravens' schedule, they play the Dallas Cowboys on Tuesday Night Football in Week 13. Then they play the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland on Monday Night Football. Then they play the Jacksonville Jaguars and New York Giants in Week 15 and Week 16. And then they play the Cincinnati Bengals to wrap up the season in Cincinnati in Week 17. So that's a pretty easy schedule. Baltimore can honestly win out, in my opinion. But again, this is an every-week league. Baltimore really, realistically, probably only has one more loss at the very maximum two that they can afford to take in order to actually go and make the playoffs, especially in an AFC where right now, again, they are the number 9 seed, and it's tough. The Ravens are definitely going to be wanting to root for Tennessee to win every game, because if Tennessee wins the AFC South and the Colts fall to a wild card spot, if the Ravens and the Colts have the same record, the Ravens actually win that tiebreaker, but they would not at the hands of the Tennessee Titans, because they suffered a loss at the hands of the Titans by the final score of 30-24 a week and a half ago. So look, for the Ravens, all hope is not lost. The season is far from over. The Ravens are in the thick of a playoff race right now. Usually Baltimore's around the 5-6 seed, right in the wild card spot, maybe even in the division lead. But look, people are counting this team out. People see a team that have lost 3 straight games. They see a team that, you know, isn't able to finish games on defense, the offense, this, that, and the other. They see a team that's ravaged by COVID, ravaged by injuries. Every team has to go through some sort of adversity, and Baltimore is certainly going through it right now. In this game against Dallas, the Ravens are not going to have guys like Matthew Judon or Mark Ingram or even Willie Snead, for that matter. But with Lamar Jackson coming back, that's a huge, huge boost to this Baltimore Ravens offense. And it's arguable that, you know, one, if the end of the half debacle doesn't happen, the Ravens potentially win the game. Two, if Lamar Jackson is in there for Baltimore, they might win the game. So Lamar Jackson and his presence is absolutely huge. But for right now, the Cleveland Browns have the number 5 slot, the Miami Dolphins have the number 6 slot, and the Indianapolis Colts have the number 7 slot. Baltimore was officially taken out of AFC North contention with this loss to the Steelers, as Pittsburgh is 11-0. Baltimore is 6-5, and there are 5 games left. So even if Pittsburgh loses every single game for the rest of the season and Baltimore wins every single game, both teams would still be 11-5, but Baltimore does not have the tiebreaker. Pittsburgh has the tiebreaker based off of the head-to-head schedule, which Pittsburgh has beaten Baltimore twice. They swept them. So the Ravens are now looking at a wild card spot. If the Ravens were to get the 5 seed, they'd play the Buffalo Bills. Right now, if the Ravens were to get the 6 seed, they would play the Tennessee Titans. And if the Ravens were the number 7 seed, they would play the Kansas City Chiefs. So out of those three, I'd most likely want to play Tennessee first, Buffalo second, and Kansas City third. But look, the Ravens have so much talent. They did not have a lot of it on the field against Pittsburgh, but they still had talented players on the field, and that's why they were able to almost win this game. The Ravens, I think, discovered a few gems in this game against Pittsburgh. The Ravens, I think, are going to be just fine going forward, and it's, you know, it's an acceptable thing right now for part of the Ravens nation, Ravens flock, to be a little down right now. The season has definitely not gone as expected. Their arch rival is 11-0 and had just beaten them 2 times in a season. But again, the season really doesn't start until January. Calais Campbell tweeted it. He said, look, we're going to get healthy and we're going to have to earn the right to go to the postseason. Nothing really matters in the regular season. You can go 16-0, you can go 14-2, you can go 9-7. But as we saw last season for this Baltimore Ravens team, a 14-2 record, a 16-0 record doesn't mean a thing if you don't win in January. So the Ravens, they're going to have to get over that hump. And again, a successful season for me is seeing the Ravens win a playoff game. I think that, yeah, making the playoffs based off of everything that's happened, based off the players they've lost, based off of the whole COVID thing, yeah, I think that's a pretty amazing feat in itself. But the Ravens have to get over that hump of winning a playoff game. The Ravens certainly have the roster talent to do it, and I don't think any team wants to see the Ravens in the playoffs. It's something I'll say and I'll say and I'll say, that the Ravens right now, you know, injuries and COVID and lack of execution and bad play calling, right? If they can just hit on a few of those things, if the injuries can subside and not have as much of a toll, the whole COVID thing will probably go away in time, hopefully. I mean, I hope that's the case, you know, but if the Ravens can get the execution down, if the Ravens can get the play calling down, this is a very scary team with a lot of talent, and that's where my hope lies, is that the Ravens can turn the corner here. They can use these final five games. You know, they've found out a lot about themselves over these last 3 weeks. They've found what works. They've found what doesn't work, and they have to do whatever they can now to get into the playoffs. This is a stretch where good teams beat the teams they're supposed to beat. The Ravens are probably going to be favored in most, if not all, of these remaining five games. The Ravens should beat Dallas. They should be able to beat Cleveland if they can stop Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett. They should be able to beat Jacksonville. They should be able to beat the Giants. They should be able to beat Cincinnati without Joe Burrow. So if they can do that, Baltimore is in a great position to make the playoffs. And honestly, if they win out, they definitely make the playoffs 100%. If they don't, then, you know, it's going to get a little tough. 10-6 is not a bad record in most years, but we see a lot of competitive teams in the AFC this year. You know, 1 through 10 are all competing right now for what seems like very few playoff spots. And right now, 5 through 10 are all competing for wildcard spots. So 3 of those teams will make it, the other 3 will not. And it'll be interesting to see who it is. But Baltimore, the season is far from over right now. And honestly, there is a lot of reasons to be optimistic for this Ravens team moving forward and their chances of making the playoffs. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back tomorrow, we'll be doing Crossover Friday with Marcus Mosher from Locked On Cowboys. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.